You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Something really, really special for you guys today. We have a special guest in just a couple of minutes to talk about the New York Giants. We'll be talking to former New York Giants star running back and current co-host of the Tiki and Tierney show on WFAN Sports Radio, Tiki Barber, about the Giants and about his new opportunity on WFAN along with Brandon Tierney. Just a couple of notes about your New York Giants, couple things going on at Big Blue View. Nick Filato of Big Blue View took a look at the defensive scheme of new defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. That's on the Big Blue View YouTube channel and also on BigBlueView.com. We also took a look at some of the salary cap cuts that the Giants could make coming up here, as new general manager Joe Shane has said that he wants to trim roughly $40 million or so from the Giants' payroll to get them under the cap and get them into a situation where they'll be able to operate heading into the 2022 season. Giants fans will keep you up to date on all of the news and happenings as we roll through the offseason. The NFL Combine is coming up. Free agency is coming up. The draft is coming up. And we'll have coverage of all of that for you. So please join the community at BigBlueView.com if you haven't done that already. All right, let's get right to the interview that I did with Tiki Barber. All right, Giants fans, I'm thrilled right now to be joined by former Giants star and current co-host of Tiki and Tierney on WFAN Sports Radio, Tiki Barber. Tiki, thank you so much for taking some time.
Pleasure, Ed. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? Jeepers, I've probably been a decade since I've talked to you. We probably talked once or twice doing some of those Super Bowl, you know, promotional type things, but it's been a while.
Right. It has been. It's actually funny because I'm out here in LA this weekend. So
are you?
I know the feeling of being caught and doing all these things for leading up to the Super Bowl. So it's good to reconnect.
Well, you're there, and I'm here with several inches of ice in my driveway in upstate New York, so you've got the better deal.
Yeah, we escaped it.
There you go. So, hey, let's get into this. We'll talk a little bit of Giants. We'll talk a little bit about your new gig at WFAN, and let's kind of start there. It's no secret that you kind of have a complicated relationship with fans in New York. Mm-hmm. You even got booed at your Ring of Honor ceremony, you know, with the Giants. And I know heading into this gig with WFAN that you kind of expected some haters and things like that. And I'm curious what the reception has been for you thus far at WFAN and with the New York audience.
It's been great, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm up front. I'm out in the open. I don't run from my history. And if you have an issue, I mean, they call and we talk it out. That's what it's always been about with me. And I think, you know, over the last month or so, New Yorkers have gotten a chance to hear directly from me, which has in some cases changed their opinion. in a lot of ways. We got a lot of calls about that very issue, and it's all been good at the end of the day. I have a passion for the New York Giants. I love this organization, and I always will. And they created an opportunity for me, not just on the field, but really all the things that have happened after it that have made a career. And so I love Giants fans. I love passion. I was booed when I was playing for Giants fans. But I get it. It's all about being positive and being productive. And that's how I live my life, and it's how I always will.
And just how much are you enjoying being back in the New York market and talking New York sports every day?
A ton. And we did. Me and BT did a national show for almost a decade, and we have a really good chemistry. We know each other's, you know, lives and families, and you know what pushes buttons, etc. But the thing that we missed by being on the national stage as opposed to the local is the passion of the fan base. Right, you can get excited about the Knicks having a bad day, or the Giants doing something wrong, or the Jets, or even the Rangers to an extent, even though they don't talk a ton of hockey. But to get the reaction and have some passion around it is energizing. And I keep telling people when they ask me about this gig, it's been just over a month, you know, how's it going? I'm like, I'm kind of waiting for the honeymoon to end, for it to get hard. But it just hasn't happened. It's a thrill every day. We got so much engagement, and you know, all of the teams have given us something to talk about, both good and bad, so far. So it's been amazing. We were in New York to an extent because we were simulcast on CBS Sports Network, but we weren't on a New York dial on the radio. So being on 101.9 and obviously 6:60 a.m., it's awesome. We love it.
So before we get into the Giants, which is of course the big reason that I had you on here today, before we get into that though, I have to check your New York sports allegiances. And we know it's Giants over Jets, but
I live in Florham Park. I mean, the Jets are literally 5 minutes from my house.
We can't hold that against you, but all right. So Yankees or Mets?
I'm a Yankees guy. I got close to a bunch of the Yankees, and CeCe and Amber are me and my wife really close friends. So we've been Yankees peeps for the last really 15 or 16 years. So definitely Yankees. Even though my father-in-law is a Mets fan, and I enjoy going, you know, out the city because it's a different environment than going to obviously the new Yankee Stadium. But it's definitely Yankees.
And Knicks or Nets?
I'm Knicks, even though I love Joe Harris. He's a UVA guy. Mm-hmm. I never had the opportunity when I was playing to go to a lot of the Knicks games, and they weren't really good. So I never developed like a passion for them. But Brandon's been rubbing off on me because he's a diehard Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. So we tend to talk a lot of Knicks. So I'm becoming really invested in the Knicks.
And your hockey team, you've got three to choose from with the Rangers, Islanders, and you got to toss the Devils in there too. So where's your allegiance lie there?
I don't know if I have one in hockey. So I didn't grow up, I never played hockey ever, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm growing up in Southwest Virginia. I never really learned how to skate and still don't. And so I can only base this on, you know, the passion of the fan base that they call us. And when we talk Rangers, people interact with us. We talk Devils, maybe we get a little bit here and there. The Islanders, I've met John Ledecky a couple of times, and I consider him a friend, and I'll get out to some Islanders games. But I think ultimately it's going to default to Rangers, especially because right now, as we're getting on the ground floor at WFAN, the Rangers are actually a really good team right now. So
There you go. So let's talk a little bit about the New York Giants. Joe Shane, new GM, Brian Daboll, new head coach. It's been maybe 3 weeks now since Joe Shane got hired.
Yep.
Just what is your impression so far of those two and what's been done, you know, to this point?
Well, I think the first thing you gotta give credit for the Maras and the Tishes for getting this process right. You go back to, you know, really my time, and when Ernie Accorsi was the general manager, and as soon as he retired, you turned right into Jerry Reese, who has two Super Bowls to his credit you know, that 07 team and in the 11 team. And then when that kind of started to break down, they went right back to an sort of an internal candidate as well, and Dave Gettleman, who was previously with the organization. And it's, you could tell it was starting to get stale, and the successes weren't happening via draft or free agency. So to look outside of the organization, really for the first time in 25 years, is something that you have to commend them on. And I think they did the process right in going after a proven, successful assistant general manager in Joe Shane. And then from there, the coaching hire with Brian Daboll, who I had had a conversation with because I did one of the Bills games early in the year, really was one of my, was my first choice, simply because of his ability to communicate, how he's been able to craft an offense for Josh Allen and create, you know, this wide open, you know, very successful Bills team over the last couple of years. I was excited for what that could mean for the New York Giants. So in the first 3 weeks, I mean, I love the path that they're going. I don't know a lot about Mike Kafka, who's the offensive coordinator. I know he's worked with, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's exciting. They just hired one of my former college teammates as the wide receiver coach, and Mike Rowe. So that's exciting for me. But I think they're going about the process diligently, and they're keeping an open mind on everything, and that's all you can ask for.
You, how familiar are you with Wink Martindale?
Oh, just only by reputation, but clearly it was a huge hire. His defenses in Baltimore, save for last season, even though there were some excuses to that, they had so many injuries, and I think COVID affected them as much as any team in the NFL last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and including Lamar Jackson as well. But Wink Martindale is a master at getting the best out of his players. So in last year, we saw some improvement, but I think more importantly, it was some emergence of some potential stars on the defensive side of the ball. Xavier McKinney is the one that jumps off the screen, most importantly. And so there's a lot for him to use and improve on. His reputation precedes him. I think it's a great hire for the Giants, and the defense, you know, if they can, you know, take steps forward from, you know, the good product they put out last year, it's going to be an exciting time. And again, I'm not down on their offense. I think they have so many injuries, especially on the offensive line. Obviously, Daniel Jones was banged up. Saquon was banged up. I mean, every receiver took a turn on the short-term IR or on the injury list. But they can stay healthy. Who knows how quickly this Giants team can become, not maybe playoff viable, but certainly a thorn in the division.
Where are you on Daniel Jones as far as his future and what you think he can be?
Well, I know it doesn't work, Ed, and that is constant change for the voice in a quarterback's ear. And this will be Daniel Jones's fifth, if you think about it, fifth offensive coordinator in 4 years. And that's really hard for continuity's sake. We know he's got the talent because we've seen him throw for 350-yard games and multiple touchdowns. He started to, at the middle of this past season before his neck injury, we started to see him get smart with protecting the football with the interceptions and fumbles and things of that nature. But we also know that he has been injured. And, you know, that's something that worries you a little bit, especially the nature of this current injury, which we don't know the extent of. But I think I like him as an athlete. I like him because he's a smart kid. I like him because he's a competitor. When you talk to his teammates, you talk to his coaches, the executives around the Giants, he's one of the hardest working guys on the team, whether it's, you know, film study or working out. I think every leader and quarterbacks are naturally that, has to do that. So I like Daniel Jones. I want some continuity. The challenge, though, Ed, is that he's really only going to have a year to do it, maybe two, because of this being his last year. I doubt they'll pick up his fifth-year option. They'll make him earn it. And if they don't, it doesn't matter because they still have the franchise tag. So it's really 2 years he's going to have to show what he's all about. And I mean, that's pressure, but I think you kind of want to find that out, right? Can your quarterback handle the pressure of having to perform? That's really what every franchise quarterback should be able to do.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, so I want to get into this topic a little bit. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but the lawsuit against the Giants. Maybe your finest moment so far on WFAN was, to me, your defense of the Mara family and your thoughts on the Flores lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't want to rehash that, but what I want to ask you is, what are your thoughts on how this gets fixed?
Yeah.
I'm just not sure there's a way to legislate a fix for this.
No, there really isn't. Because you can't, and BT had this stance the first time we talked about this after post this lawsuit from Brian Flores, is that at the end of the day, owners are going to hire who owners want to hire. Even if they follow the Rooney rule, the letter of the law, or the rule, I guess, it's not really a law. They could still hire whoever they want to. That's at its core. The reason they're going to hire individual coaches is because they have a familiarity with them. They have a trust in them. They see them as strong leaders. I think most importantly, strong communicators. That's regardless of race. So the Rooney rule, it's broken. It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work yet is because it injects candidates too far along in the process, a week or 2 weeks maybe, before a head coaching hire is going to happen. You're having a speed dating session with a coach. This is white coaches and black coaches, but a lot of these black coaches don't have familiarity or don't have the reputations that precede them with the general managers and the owners that are going to hire them. And so if you want to really strengthen the Rooney rule, you have to push it further into the off seasons ahead of coaches getting fired, so that there's more of an understanding of who these candidates are, these black candidates are. My biggest challenge, and you brought this up for, you know, our show last week, was, you know, when you blanket accuse a specific body, and in this case, the NFL owners, as being racist, it's ultimately going to be wrong because you don't know everybody in that body. You don't know who's within that organization that's taking offense. And being labeled something simply because of the ineffectiveness of these diversity initiatives is wrong. And I got a little emotional about it. I lost my composure because of a caller who was imploring me to use my seat now at WFAN to scream racism by the league. And I honestly just don't believe that. I think the program is ineffective. It's inefficient. But there has been progress with the Rooney Rule. 3 or 4 years ago, there was one minority general manager in the NFL. Now there are seven. And so it's worked to an extent. I think the opportunities for black offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches, including Pep Hamilton and Marcus Brady, these guys are starting to climb these ranks. It's just taken a lot longer than people have expected. And a lot of that is because of what we talked about earlier with the Rooney Rule. It's too late to be injected. It's too late to figure out how to get that hot candidate, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There's a lot of black defensive coordinators. I think there was 12 last season. There's a lot of up and coming great black deep position coaches, but the offense is where teams are starting to hire, and we haven't had enough of them to date.
And again, that's, I think that's a thing that you can't legislate that either. It probably just takes time to get that pipeline.
And it's not happening fast enough. But I think a lot of it is because, I mean, up until what, 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago, the black quarterback wasn't a thing, right? It was, there were some, but there weren't a ton. It was, you know, Randall Cunningham and, you know, Donovan McNabb, Dante Culpepper. But now we look at the last two of the last three MVPs have been black quarterbacks. And so the narrative is changing, right? You see these kids coming out of college, whether it's Kyler Murray, who won the Rookie of the Year, or Malik Willis, who's at Liberty. And let's be honest, most people haven't seen him play. He's being touted as one of the top quarterbacks coming into this draft. And so the narrative around the black quarterback has changed, which means in time, the narrative around the black play caller will change. And these you know, black quarterbacks that didn't necessarily make it into the NFL, they become offensive coordinators in college, or they become, you know, quarterback coaches in the NFL. And eventually they become that hot candidate that gets the head coaching jobs. It's a process. It sucks and it's slow. And the Rooney Rule is ineffective. But I think in time it does work itself out.
All right. Hey, let me ask you about another quarterback. And it kind of get into this because Ben Roethlisberger just retired, which means that Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers have all retired from that historic 2004 class. I know that you've been pretty forceful about saying that Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. I'm just curious if you looked at all three of those guys, I'm just curious if you could rank them and tell me if you think all three of them are Hall of Famers.
It depends on if you're talking postseason or regular season, because that's part of the narrative with Eli, isn't it?
Right.
And BT and I talked about this on our show this week, today. You know, when you look at Eli, if he had just had that one championship in 2007, you'd have said, you know what, he just got hot. He had a great run. He played his best football in the postseason. They beat the New England Patriots. They had some familiarity with him because they played him at the end of the regular season in that 2007 year. And, you know, tip of the cap to him. But he's not really a Hall of Famer. Look, his career record is 500. It is what it is. The statistics will lie to you in some regards because all of these current quarterbacks are going to be top 10 statistically simply because of the proliferation of the pass offense in the NFL. But the fact that it happened again, 2011 comes around, Eli Manning plays some of his best football in the postseason, it no longer was an accident, right? You could tell where he, you know, what he does when the chips are down or when the pressure's on, and he won a Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger also has 2 Super Bowls, but we all know that first one, he didn't do anything. But the second one, he made some great throws in, you know, the Arizona Cardinals Super Bowl. I think it was in Tampa. The throw to Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone was as good of a throw as you'll ever see in any game, much less the Super Bowl. And so I would rank Ben 1 because of how successful he was throughout his career. He had a great, you know, obviously 2 coaches to play under, Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin, and they had such great talent around them for most of his career. And he succeeded in the postseason. I would put Ben 1, I'd put Eli 2, and Phillip Rivers would be 3 for me. Phillip was amazing. We all know that. And he really didn't have many opportunities in the postseason. And whether that's on him or whether that's on the scheme or whether that's on the defense, it is what it is. You have to reward successes, especially for quarterbacks, right? It's different for wide receivers, running backs, or say left tackles, but the postseason successes for quarterbacks are not by accident.
Right. So, hey, I have one more question for you, and it's a lighthearted question, but I have to ask. The Real Housewives of New Jersey? Really? How did that happen?
Well, my wife, Tracy, and I have been friends with Joe and Melissa Gorga for a while now. And we actually made a little small appearance years ago with them at an event that we went to. And it just came back around. And we said, you know what? Let's give this a shot. So Tracy's not a housewife right now. She's a friend of the housewives. And so we're on the show and enjoying it. You know, it's a lot of drama. There's a lot of interesting interactions with the housewives and the house husbands who I've gotten, you know, really close to. So it's New Jersey. I live in Forum Park. You know, it feels like we're part of the fabric of New Jersey. And this housewives show has allowed us to show a little bit more of that.
All right, folks. Hey, Tiki, I really appreciate the time. Why don't you, go ahead and give the WFAN plug before I let you go.
Yeah, absolutely. 10 to 2 every weekday on WFAN radio. Listen to me and DT talking local sports and having a lot of fun. That's at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. We want to have fun interaction and talk sports. You know, we're not trying to be comedians. I mean, every now and then we'll crack some jokes, but we just want to talk sports and we enjoy it.
But does anybody ever call the show and actually want to talk to BT?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Because BT's he's an enormous Yankees fan and Knicks fan. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's certain I can tell, like, there's certain moments I come in and I know I can just, like, twist it and, like, rile it up a little bit. Just turn him up and get him upset or get him fired up. And that's when he's at his best. Like, when he's being that passionate fan that he's always been, it makes for great radio for us. And I think we're unique and dynamic together. That's fun.
All right. Hey, best of luck with the show. Thank you very, very much for the time. And hopefully we'll do this again.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Be well, man.
You too. Take care.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Tiki Barber. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Please stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.